You have your Bibles, I hope you do. Turn to Genesis chapter 3 as we look at verses 1 through 7. You can't have it all. You can't. We all want to. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say, 'You shall not eat from the tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. This is the word of the Lord. I don't know about y'all growing up, but my mother and daddy, we didn't go out to eat many times. We just didn't do that. Most of our meals were eaten at home. This family of six, I guess daddy had to conserve and be wise. I don't remember going out to eat in a restaurant until I was in high school, I think. But I do remember one time when he took us to the Davis Brothers cafeteria. I don't know what possessed him to do that. I have no idea what it cost, but I remember when my two brothers and I rounded that corner and we saw all that food, our eyes lit up like headlights, and man, we thought we had died and gone to heaven. And Daddy said, "Boys, get anything you want." Well, there it was, about 10 different kinds of salads, and I don't know why they put the desserts up front, but they always do. And then, you know, you had lemon meringue pie and pecan pie and strawberry shortcake, banana pudding, chocolate cake, vanilla cake, any kind of cake. Duncan Hines was well represented, and peach cobbler. And then there was a selection of fish and chicken and steak, and there's always that guy cutting that roast beef. I started loading my plate up, and my daddy didn't say a word. In fact, my two brothers and I, we all three were loading up. But you know, I tried to eat all that food, and I couldn't do it. But I don't know how much I did eat, but that afternoon I got sick as a dog. And that experience ultimately taught me a valuable lesson, and that is you can't have it all. And in this case, I couldn't eat it all, even though I wanted it all. All those cakes, all those desserts, all those meats. See, there are boundaries in life. And a lot of us don't like boundaries. We want to roam free. Well, God did this with Adam and Eve. God created the beautiful world in which we live, absolutely gorgeous, every kind of tree, every kind of fruit. I don't know what all was in the garden, but I'm sure there was all the vegetables that we love, okra and turnips and collards and everything else. And I know most of y'all know what okra is. And I love fried okra, but how anybody can eat boiled okra, I'll never understand. Now, God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, and he told them, "All of this is yours. Take care of this. You're the caretaker. You can name all the fish, and you can name all the birds. You can name all the animals of that. You know, you're the caretaker. I'm placing all of this at your disposal. But in the middle of the garden, I have put a tree, and that is mine. There is a spiritual fence around that tree, so stay away from it. Because if you eat of that tree, you will have invaded my space. It's not yours." Now the Bible says that the Bible says you will know the difference between good and evil. And most writers who have written about this say that that is knowledge that is reserved for God alone. So now they have eaten of that fruit and their eyes are open and they saw things of God that God didn't intend for them to see or experience. But more than that, there's always that space that is reserved for God in the middle. Look what God did for Abraham and Eve. He gave them everything. He gave them everything and simply said, "Take care of what I have given you." Now, in my comic mind, things are going well in the garden. Adam comes home from a hard day at work. Eve has set the table. She's not in a good mood. I can identify with Adam sometimes. Eve seems a little upset. Something's happened. She's sitting there with her arms crossed. Her bottom lip is poked out a little bit. She's tapping her foot, and it's real quiet in there, kind of cold. She says, "It's not fair." And he says, "What's not fair, honey?" You know what I'm talking about. If you've been listening to me, you would know. Adam rolls his eyes back and says, "Well, honey, I don't know how to help you if you don't tell me what it is." She said, "You take care of it." "Take care of what? I don't know what you're talking about. That tree in the garden. I want some of that fruit." Adam says, "God said we can't have it." And she responds, "Well, it doesn't matter. And Adam says, "We got everything else. But I want some of that fruit from that tree. Look, we got apples, we got oranges, we got bananas, we got pecans, we got peanuts. We got it. It's heaven. We got it all. But I want that fruit." And he says, "Well, you can't have it." And she says, "But I want it." And then the old snake comes slithering up, and he says to Eve, "You can have it. He's just playing games with you. Let's take the fence down. You can have all the fruit you want." And so she ate and he ate, and sin entered the world. When boundaries are broken, when God sets up boundaries and they are broken, instead of having the age of enlightenment, we have an age of evil, an age of pain, because we've lost paradise. They made bad choices. They broke the boundaries. And they didn't realize that in the scissors of life, there is a sacred place you cannot invade. Life is made up of choices, choices that are built into life. And we don't understand that every day we make 1,000 choices that determine our lives. In 1912, at a college in New Hampshire, there was a young man teaching and farming on the side. He didn't like farming. He was teaching psychology. Robert Frost didn't want to do that. He wanted to write poetry. So one day, Robert Frost was walking in the woods in New Hampshire, and he came to a place where two roads came together. You know the poetry. He realized those two roads were a symbol of his life. They were a metaphor for his life. And he said, "I will be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverge in the woods, and I took the one less traveled by." That has made all the difference. He went to England, became a poet, found the place he was created to be in creating poetry. Harvey Cox, the Harvard theologian, almost 100 years old now, wrote a book called The Secular City, and in it, he has a model that has become very vivid to me, and it will be vivid to you. It's a model of what it's like to live in our culture. Every time Sarah and I drive to Fredericksburg, Virginia, or even if we're going to Bluffton, South Carolina to see our children, I've noticed something. I'm always in a hurry, and everybody else is in a bigger hurry than I am. And when you go down that expressway, I've discovered that at every intersection, they're trying to get me to get off the road. You ever notice that? Come buy gas at our station. Come eat at our restaurant. Come stay at our hotel. We got a cotton gin here. It's historical. Come see that. And some football player died in that next exit, and no one wants you to come see him. They try to get you off every time. Eat at our restaurant. Stay at our hotel. They advertise some things you shouldn't get off for. Then they advertise some things like shopping centers, and I like to get off at those and go in and maybe do a little shopping, go to the restaurant. You know, I want to stop at all the historical sites. But there's a problem with that. It's impossible to stop at every exit. It's impossible for us to take everything that is given to us. You can't wear all the clothes that are available. You can't even wear the ones you have. We can't take every trip that someone proposes we ought to take. We can't eat all the food that's on the table. We can't sleep in all the rooms in our house. We can't drive all the cars in the driveway. But the choices are there. We can't even begin to use the choices because there are boundaries in life for us. Occasionally, Sarah will say to me, "On your way home today, will you stop by Kroger and pick up some items? Y'all do that to y'all's husbands? Well, she called me one day and said, I want you to go by Kroger's and get some ice cream and some milk and some bread. That's not real hard. One, two, three. I said, all right, I'll do it. Now, I've got an earned college degree. I've got a master's in divinity, and I've got a doctoral in practical ministry. I'm capable of going to the store and getting ice cream, milk, and bread. So I went into Kroger's, and I went down to the ice cream section. It's a football field long. And what's amazing, when you start walking down, the lights start coming on. I mean, it's amazing what they do there. And it got all kinds of ice cream. They got it in cones, they got it in cups, they got it in tubs, they got it in boxes. There must be 9 companies there that have 100 different flavors. Then they got ice cream sandwiches and ice cream pies. And I mean, they got all kinds of ice cream. So I thought, well, I'm going to relax on this a little bit. I'll go over to the milk section. So I went over there, different brands, different percentages, different containers. You know, you got whole milk, you got 2% milk, you got 1% buttermilk. You know, you got clear plastic bottles. You got milk in a box. You got milk in a yellow container. Why do they have milk in a yellow container? Everything was there except the cow. And so, you know what I did? I got skim milk. That's just water with white paint on it. There's no flavor to it. And if you think the ice cream aisle and the milk section is difficult, go on over to that bread section. It's a long link, too. And they got all kinds of breads over there, different. Oh, my goodness alive. So I just picked up some ice cream and some milk and some bread. And I said, well, if Sarah's not happy, she can come get it herself next time. And that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough. When I got to the checkout, I could go through the what you call the traditional line, or you could go through the self-help line. And so I got in the self-help line, and there was this young whippersnapper there, and she had about 4 earrings hanging out of her nose. And she was attractive and very nice, and she had her People magazine there, and I thought, oh, boy. And she said, can I help you, old man? I said, yeah, you sure? Well, she was right. I mean, she was right about that. I said, yes, you can. So she started typing numbers, and she got me through. The point I'm trying to make is life is full of choices. God put us in this world, and he set boundaries, and we have to make choices. And if we make the right choices, life is good. The tragedy are the people who decide they're going to live outside the boundaries. You know, now the boundaries are not just bound to Adam and Eve here. When I read the Bible and I study the people of Israel as they were heading toward the promised land, you recall chapter after chapter where God gives this land to this group of people. He gives this land to this tribe of people. And he says the boundaries will be from this rock to this stone to this river. And he set boundaries for the tribe. He sets boundaries for us. You have to make choices. He gives us 7 days in a week. And he says 6 of those days are yours. Enjoy life. Make the right choices. But give me the 7th. He gives us everything. And he asks for 1 day. Moses on top of the mountain had to make choices. These are boundaries. And if you and I live in the boundaries, God blesses our life. If you ignore the boundaries, your life is out of control. The tragedy that I see for some people, they believe that that's just not for them. I can live without boundaries. I wish that our people, I wish culture would come to understand this more. We have limits, and limits are not all that bad because it disciplines us to live and to act in the right direction. You know, I used to say that people are like a phonograph record. To get what you want on one side, you have to take what's on the other. And then somebody reminded me, well, half the congregation don't know what a phonograph record is. But I think that's the way life is. I really feel for people who think they can live and be happy without boundaries. We mourn. We mourn for every part of us, and every part of us we kill by deciding who we're going to be and deciding what we will be. I mourn because I couldn't get the right milk and the right bread and the right ice cream. I mourn because I can't go on every trip that I'm asked to go on. I can't stop at every intersection on the interstate trying to go to Virginia to visit my daughter. Have you ever found yourself mourning over something you did do that you wish you hadn't done? I'm very fortunate that God called me in the ministry. I had very little to do with that. God really did it all. But you know something that I mourn over to this day? I'm almost embarrassed to say this. I thought I was too cool to sing in the glee club. I just thought my ego was so big, I just thought it was, that's not the cool thing to do. And yet I would have loved to have sang it. Whenever they sang, I wished I was in it. And I would have loved to play it in the band. But I thought I was too cool to be in the band. And yet I, when I started in middle school or earlier playing instrument, I played the trombone, but I had to walk home from school, and that thing was heavy, so I switched over to the cornet. It was a little lighter. Can you imagine that? All I'm saying is sometimes we grieve over that which we've turned away from. So don't grieve over the girl you didn't marry. Don't grieve over the car you didn't purchase. Don't grieve over the job you didn't get or the house you didn't build. There's no reason to say that I'm going to celebrate the future by not having boundaries. You know, if you're the one who says, I'm going to have it all, let me just tell you, you can't have it all. And everyone who lives life by that approach is on a destructive pattern, and sooner or later you'll find out. Athletes have taught us that discipline and limitations brings freedom. Every athlete has had to say goodbye to something in order to be the good athlete that he or she is. Every musician that I know, in order to concentrate and focus on being a good musician, has to do the same thing. Every Christian I know has had to say no to something in order to be a part of the people of God. I'm not going to tell you that if you come to church that you'll have it all, but I will tell you if you come, you will have all that God provides. But there are some things in the center that only God has. We cannot tear down the boundaries. Some of y'all remember Ralph McGill, who was the editor of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution years ago. He wrote an article one time called The Fleas Come With a Dog. Every decision we make comes with its issues. So you're sitting here asking, where in the world is he going with this message? I'm convinced that if you want to be deeply spiritual, and I hear people saying all the time, well, you know, I want to be deeply spiritual. And I know what they mean, and I appreciate it. I respect it. You can't be any more deeply spiritual than just being a person of integrity, that your yes means yes and your no means no. But you can't skip church all the time or come once a month in order to be deeply spiritual. I'm convinced that if you want to know the Bible, you can't skip Sunday school or you can't come to church once a month. If you want to have a deep commitment with the people of God and have support and help there, you can't ignore them. You have to be involved in it all. You have to be a part of it. I submit to you that if you want to do something about this world and these conditions, what you need to do is not go to another seminar or go to another conference, but you need trying to build a Habitat House or working with making Christian outreach or get involved in giving a cup of water in Jesus' name, you know, taking care of the down and out, feeding the hungry, helping those. You know, that will lift the level of this world in which we live. But to do that, you have to accept certain boundaries. You have to decide what kind of life you really want to live. And if you want to have a Christian life, it means you can't have one foot on one side of the ledger and one foot on the other side of the ledger. It means you accept the boundaries of being inside and supporting the people of God in God's church. You know something else I'm worried about? It's where in the world did we go wrong thinking about supporting the people of God and being the people of God? Then I remember that story of the old snake came and how he deceived Adam and Eve. I'm telling you, we are being deceived today and deluded. Somewhere we've gotten the idea that if I'm a Christian, I don't have to come to church. If I'm a Christian, I don't have to study my Bible. If I'm a Christian, I don't have to bring my tithes into the storehouse because somebody else will give it. Or somebody else will teach me. We're Vineville Baptist Church. We don't have a mother church to bail us out. We are who we are. We'll set the budget, you'll make the decision, and we'll work within the boundaries of that. Now, I know when I kind of slid in here on you on this a little bit, talking about money and tithing. I know sometimes you get uneasy, people start choking and strangling. When I was in Little Washington, I'd preached on stewardship that Sunday, and I only did it about twice a year. And this guy came up to me and said, listen, preacher, I just built a house. I just bought a car. I got two kids in private school and one fixing to go to college. I can't afford to tithe. And I told him, I said, well, I think you made the wrong choice. It's our church. It's our church. I understand we have to crawl before we walk. And I understand that before you can run, you have to walk. But I don't think what I'm asking for is asking too much. Whether you're here or not in church, the church still functions. 365 days a week, a year. It still functions. It goes on, whether you're here or not. And we need to be consistent in our financial responsibility to God's storehouse. It needs to be consistent. It shouldn't be the last thing on the list. It ought to be the first thing on the list. Think about it for a moment. God says, all of this is yours. It's all yours. Enjoy it. But stay away from that tree. And what do? We're going to tear that fence down. All I ask of you is to respect that tree and the fence around it. Live within the boundaries and honor me. So what are you doing? How have you responded? What will you do? Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for our time together, for your love and watch care as you guide us each and every day. Thank you for entrusting us to be stewards of all that you've given us. And may we be good stewards and recognize and honor you for who you are and what you've done. In Jesus' name. Our hymn of invitation this morning is 395, Open My Eyes That I May See. Whatever decision you need to make, let's stand together and you come as we sing together.